Well, good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us here today at Freedomize Radio. Up next is Brother Gregory with Keys of the Kingdom and our Sabbath Hour, and after that, See the Power in You. So stay tuned.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking again today about the Kingdom of God. I did four shows this week on this new book, The Zealot, by a fellow by the name of Aslan. At least that's the name he's going by now. He was a Christian, and he became a Muslim. And he has a Ph.D. in sociology, not in history. He has a B.A. in religion, not in history. And he currently teaches a revolution at a major college. In other words, a study of violent revolution and forms of revolution in the Middle East. And he has also got a degree in fiction writing. And, of course, that's what the book Zealot is fiction, because Christ wasn't a zealot. And this guy has to be extremely far-reaching in his studies. But you'll have to... We're not going to do the show today on him, but the misinformation out there is a much bigger haystack than the truth. The truth is actually pretty simple, pretty clear, pretty concise, but it gets lost in the commotion and confusion surrounding the truth. And that's what they do, is they mix in all this other falsehoods, and they make it sound good. And it's not so much what he says, but what he doesn't say. He does recognize that Jesus Christ was a part of a major political movement, but it's not a political movement like you would think. It's not like the other political movements that were at that time, like the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Zealots. And there was even a political movement that we could identify as the Essenes, which is mentioned also by Josephus, who categorizes the different movements in Judea with those titles. But they were really apolitical. They didn't involve themselves in the governmental temple of Jerusalem very much. They weren't a participant in animal sacrifice. They thought that that was a false interpretation of the Torah, that there wasn't this call for all this animal sacrifice, and somebody had completely misconstrued it. And, of course, I think they were right. And if you read our book, Thy Kingdom Comes, you'll see what I'm talking about. And the next book, hopefully, will be Altars of Blood. And that will even be more revealing. And part of that is going to be found in articles that we're publishing on News of Views, which I sent them another article, which is part two in That Word You Use series, and we already started part three and four. But what that was really about is the fact that religion and the word faith have changed over the last 100 to 200 years. It changes back and forth over the centuries, and it's part of this unmooring the truth from reality so that you can twist the truth into a non-reality, get people to follow that. It's like a lure, you know, live bait or a lure. Live bait will catch you lots of fish. Lure will catch you lots of fish, but the fish is really disappointed with a lure because he doesn't even get a taste of the worm or the shrimp or whatever it is you're using for bait. He just gets the lure. And that's what you have today in modern religion. It's just the lure and the hook. And they're hooking you with no substance to it whatsoever. And this is why people have been debating this new book, The Zealot, for days now, and nobody really gets down to the fact that it's a bunch of hogwash. It's just not, it's not real. He's making it up. It's fiction. And, he puts lots of quotes in there, and this is one of the things, if you want to study Jesus, you can find all kinds of scholars, people with PhDs or, you know, degrees after their name, letters after their name, who are supposedly studying Jesus, and they're making stuff up, and they're twisting stuff. And of course, because much of the stuff, the early stuff written about Jesus is in other languages, you know, you can take English and you can make it mean almost anything you want because there are so many different definitions for every word. But when you start translating it into other languages, you can go almost anywhere you want, especially with Hebrew, which is what I was saying, where the Essenes were studying the exact same Torah that the Pharisees were studying. Exact same Hebrew words. They spoke Hebrew. They knew Hebrew. They knew the ancient texts. They knew a lot of the texts that were surrounding the Torah. And they came to a completely different conclusion than the Pharisees did. Completely. I mean, just upside down compared to what the Pharisees were concluding. Now, after the Diaspora and the fall of Jerusalem, the only part of Judaism that really survived with any numbers was the Pharisaical interpretation of the Torah. And of course, that's what modern Christendom passes down to us, is that the Torah was saying what the Pharisees were doing, which is Christ was going to tell them something new. In reality, the Torah was saying exactly what Jesus Christ was saying. You just don't understand the Torah. And you don't understand the Torah because they change the meaning of words. And they do this on a regular basis so that you don't even understand what words mean. And that's why I pointed out in the article, and we've talked about it before on this show, is that religion went from being the performance of your duty to God and your fellow man to what you think, you know, what you believe. What you believe is your religion. You know, what do you believe? I believe this. Okay, that's your religion. But that's not what religion was 200 years ago. It wasn't defined that way. It was defined as the performance of your duty to God and your fellow men. And that duty was to do no harm and to take care of one another, care about your neighbor's rights, life, liberty, children, as much as you care about your own. But you have to change the meaning of that as well as the meaning of faith. Faith was your probity, this desire for justice and honor for yourself and for others. That's what faith used to be. And it was actually the performance, the probity, the actual actions that you did to express that belief in justice and honor. You know, when there was a hue and cry, you'd be the first one out there to help your neighbor, to defend your neighbor, to protect your neighbor. And that showed that you had faith. Faith in righteousness, faith in what is honorable, faith in justice, and you were going to act upon it. That's what faith meant. Now faith is just what you think. You think Jesus loves you, and so that's your faith. You think Jesus is God, that's your faith. You think Muhammad is the cat's meow, that's your faith. You're a Muslim, you see. But that's not what faith used to be. Faith used to be this actual thing that you did. That's why faith is the evidence. Faith is evidence. Because faith was actually what you did, you see. But if you change faith into what you think, then you can just think a thought and be saved. You know, and that's what they've done. As a matter of fact, they get really kind of testy if you talk about actually doing something, even though Christ talked about doing stuff all the time, you know, not those who say, but those who do it. You know, the two sons, one said he was going to do it, but didn't, and one who said he wasn't going to do it, but then changed his mind and did it. Which one was the son? What was the one who did? You know, the prodigal son was the prodigal son because he came back. to serve in his father's house. He wasn't a prodigal son because he thought about coming back. He actually had to come back to do it. You know, and so this is really a huge, huge problem with today because of the fact that you don't know what religion is. And religion is this taking care of the needy of your society. And this is why Christians were persecuted, because they were going to do it privately. They gathered together once a week, and those that had shared with those that didn't have enough. They took care of the needy in their congregations of tens, hundreds, and thousands. And that was outlawed. It was actually outlawed by the emperor. And they punished, even burned Christians alive because they had the audacity to take care of one another through faith, hope, and charity, and did not apply to the government temples that were doing the same thing. But when you apply to the government temples to do that, then you're signed up and you have to contribute. It becomes a matter of law. They would actually force you to contribute. And this is what the Pharisees and Herod had done, which has all come out since the Dead Sea Scrolls. Historians have now realized this in earnest. It was actually known a long time ago, but it's been oppressed or suppressed. That information has been suppressed in our minds by a particular church that I used to study in, which is why I know they used to do this. They used to keep it a secret as to what the early church was actually doing. And the fact is those who were studying the Bible back in the 1400s and 1500s, you know, when they were first translated into English and realizing that it was the book for the government of the people, for the people, and by the people, according to men like Wycliffe, who wrote that in his introduction to his translation of the Bible, they were beginning to do that. They were beginning to take care of one another through faith, hope, and charity. And then when some of them came to America, they really had to do that because, I mean, it was difficult. If you didn't help take care of one another, you could die because you had to be there for each other. So this is, Christianity was alive and strong and well in early America. It's dead now. Now, you know, nobody takes care. The privatization of religion was what Christians were persecuted for, because you could go to the pagan temples, sign up for them, just like you could go to the Temple of Roma built by Herod or the Temple of Jerusalem built by Herod and sign up with him. You could get baptized by Herod's priests, and they would enter your name, and you would have to pay in, and you were a member of their system of Corban, you see. So now the Christians were doing something else. You were members of congregations, but you didn't have to pay in. They were operating according to liberty. And this is why your whole nation is in trouble today, because you don't know what religion is. And that's why I started the article, because we had people from who were in connection with groups like the Tea Party groups and all this stuff who wanted to use some of our articles, but they didn't really want to talk about religion. Well, what do you mean? Don't you know what religion is? Well, of course they didn't. And you know, I was doing a show this morning on this subject, and I started a quote from 2 Peter 3:10 through 13, and it says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. And the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. What manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt in the fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness." Now, if you read that with our modern understanding of atomic energy and everything, everybody thinks that, well, you know, there's going to be this melting of the earth, and, you know, there's going to be nuclear war, and elements are going to melt, and there's going to be this fervent heat, and there's going to have to be a new heaven and a new earth and all this kind of stuff. Well, in a way, some of that's true. It has nothing to do with nuclear weapons or anything like that. But they're talking about the elements melting or destroying. And we talk about this in other articles, and we go through each individual word, element and melt, and why he says fervent heat. And you know, things are going to get hot, that's for sure. The economy is going to get really cold, but things in society are going to get really hot, and people are going to get overheated. Of course, I'm not talking about anything about temperature or global warming. I'm talking about people getting worked up, because these are the metaphors that we use. And you say, oh, what makes him so hot under the collar? Well, it doesn't mean that he's actually running a fever under his collar. It's a metaphor, and that's what Peter is dealing with in this. And if you read Peter in complete context here, you would understand that. But people, they steer you over into the direction of, oh, atomic wars and all this stuff and melting elements and all this kind of stuff. Except for that word element isn't always translated element. It's also translated rudiments. And it's used, it's also first principle. It's translated into that, too. So what does it really mean? What are they really talking about? You know, most of the time, when he's talking about the elements of the world in the New Testament, they're talking about the elements of government. Yeah, yeah, that's what they're talking about, the elements of government. And what am I talking about? Let's go to Galatians 4:3. Galatians 4:3 says, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. So were you in bondage under atomic energy? Is that what he's talking? Because that's the same word in the Greek, elements of the world. And the word world there, that's a Greek word for government. Yeah, that's a Greek word for government. It means constitutional order or system government. And that's what there says it means. I'm not making this up. It just, that's what it means. It comes from a word, chemizo, which actually for a while, earlier than this time period, it was used, chemizo was used to kind of identify soldiers in an order of soldiers, you know, like a group or line of soldiers, an entourage of soldiers. And it comes from a word that means to carry away by taking care of. And, of course, soldiers were taken care of. If you sign up, you were going to get a ration, you would be taken care of. And that's kind of what chemizo means. But then it became this word that meant constitutional order or system of government. It was an organized system, you know, like a line of soldiers marching in a straight line. And it had to do with taking care of the people. And this is what they were doing with their systems of Corban and welfare. And Rome had a system of Corban, too, and they had set that up so that you would sign up, you would have to pay in, and this was all done through the temples. You know, they had birth registration, your birth certificates were done at the Bureau of Vital Statistics, which they called the Temple of Saturn. That was their Bureau of Vital Statistics. And you would register your birth certificate there so that when you became of age, you were eligible to get benefits. And then they had all kinds of other little systems of titlesses and identities so that they would know who was entitled to the free bread, you know, the giveaway. And they had free bread and free cheese and free milk and free wine even that they would give away to the needy of society. And at first they just gave it away to anybody who showed up, because not very many people showed up, because the Romans were a very self-sufficient people, and only the people who were really in trouble would have the character, you know, that, you know, overcome that genuine desire to do for themselves, would they come and show up for the free bread. But as things progressed and they became more and more of a socialist society, they would gather together and actually become, in large numbers would start coming for the free bread. And people who didn't even need it would come for the free bread. So they ended up making stipulations that you had to kind of qualify. And, you know, it's the same way today. And, of course, this was leading to the downfall of Rome. And this is why, of course, Jesus says you pray to your Father in heaven. give us this day our daily bread. You don't pray to your Father in Rome, give us this day our daily bread. Because he said you weren't to pray to the fathers of the earth, and these governments, these patronesses. And of course, now today in our modern society, all the Christians pray to the fathers of the earth for their benefits. Yeah, that's right. They pray to the fathers of the earth. They apply. That's all it is. And the fathers of the earth, they have stuff to give you because they took it away from your neighbor, which is a covetous arrangement. So anyway, I've just said the same thing I always say, and I've done it in a roundabout sort of way. But in Galatians 4:3, they're talking about these elements of the world, where we were in bondage to the world. What should have been for our welfare had become a snare, as David said, as Paul said. And we had sat down and ate with rulers, as Proverbs says, not to do. If you be a man of appetite, they tell you to actually put a knife to your throat. Don't eat so much. Don't keep applying for these benefits. Apply for less and less of those benefits because they are deceitful meats. They will snare you. They will trap you, as Proverbs also says. And you don't hear that in church because they don't want to talk about that, because that would reveal to you that they are workers of iniquity, that they are actually doing absolutely the opposite of Christ. Because Christ was setting people free. You know, I know a lot of people on different radio stations like to talk about freedom and how to set free and what the problem is. The problem is your religion is all mixed up with your government. And your government is conducting religious programs with a sword or a knife or a gun or whatever you want to call it. They're forcing you to contribute and your neighbors to contribute on your behalf. And you've all fallen for this. And you got to repent of that. That's what they had to repent of in order to cleanse themselves of the sin of mankind. And we did this under Cain, and we did it under Nimrod, and we did it in Pharaoh, and they did it under Caesar. And you're doing it again today. You're back in bondage in the elements of the world. If you go on to Galatians 4:9, it says, but now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Well, you've done that. You did that during the Depression. You know, there was a depression, and they said, okay, well, let's everybody sign up for this Corbyn system of social welfare, and the government will provide you with your needs. These are the elements of the world. These are the elements of literally the unrighteous mammon, and they were going to provide for you by taking away from your neighbor. And your churches said that was okay. Most of them did. There were a few churches back then that said, no, this is not right, and you know, your social security number is the mark of the beast, and they never got the number, you know. But now, and I even know some of them had children who are now in their 60s who never got the number, and they've survived all these years without the number, very hard at times, but it's becoming harder and harder because they are causing everybody to get the number, and it's not the number. The number isn't the mark of the beast. Social Security number, yeah, it says you have to have a Social Security number in Title 42, Section 666 of the United States Codes, that you have to have that Social Security number to get a job, to get a license, driver's license, business license, marriage license. You have to have that number. It says that in the law, Section 666. I didn't number it. They numbered it. I mean, go figure. But you actually don't have to have it. You don't even have to have that number to have a bank account. You don't have to have that number to have a debit card. You don't have to have that number, but everybody thinks you do. As a matter of fact, you know, we've gone down and we've tested this in government offices. And we said, do we have to have this number? And they said, yes, you do. And it says, well, you don't have this number. Would you give us the license anyway? And some places, the driver's license, they've never agreed to this. Although, actually, I know of a case where they did do it. The guy suddenly just said, well, this is your lucky day. And he gave them the license, just like it was arbitrary. But most of them won't do it. And not only that, you can't just have the number. You have to have the number for benefit purposes, and we've gone through all that. But the point is, these are the elements of the world that bring you into bondage. And that's why you're in bondage, is because you've been eating at their table. and you've been applying at their table. Now, can you survive in this world today without doing that? Not very easily. But get this. Go back to Peter. The elements of the world are going to melt. They're going to dissolve. They're going to go away. And, of course, this is what Christ says about the unrighteous mammon, that you should be seeking righteousness in the things that you do so that when the unrighteous mammon fails, you'll be suitable for more righteous habitation. And that's what we're doing on the Living Network. If you go to thelivingnetwork.org, is we're gathering people together to start doing what that early church was doing, because the elements of the world are going to melt. And you can read this also in Colossians 2:8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceits after the traditions, that's one of those words that means ordinances, of men, after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. The rudiments of the world, that's the same word as elements of the world, but for some reason they translate it rudiments in Colossians rather than elements. But it's of the world, again, of that constitutional order and system of government, because they're going to spoil you. In other words, because you apply for those benefits, they get to take from you. Because you ask them to take from your neighbor for your benefit, so that means they get to take from you for your neighbor's benefit. And they get to decide what's going to benefit them. You see, you gave them the power. You know, governments weren't created by God. They're created by you. The spirit in you created the government. You've created a very hungry, lustful government that wants lots and lots of power and lots of stuff from you, wants to eat out your substance. And you have created that government because you yourself were willing to eat out the substance of your neighbor for your benefits. I mean, you sent your kids to public school. Who paid for that? We just had one of our ministers send out a thing to a public school forum, and it'll show up in our newsletter, and you can get our newsletter by joining the Living Network. And he's pointing some of these things out. In Colossians 2:20, same chapter, just a few verses down, wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, well, how are you dead to the elements of the world, the rudiments of the world, same word again. How are you dead to that if you're with Christ? Well, you're living in the world, but not of it. You're not applying to the fathers of the earth. You're not looking for their benefits. You're taking care of one another. And the course we're starting through the Living Network with people who pick what we call a personal contact minister, they get to join this course for free. We're not charging $2,000, $1,500, $500, $100, $2, 2 cents, nothing. We're not charging. You just have to participate. And we have levels of this. And we're pulling out information that I've shared it with other ministers, but I haven't made it available to the actual public, general public, because it's too powerful information. It has to do with the law. We spent tens of thousands of dollars going to Washington, D.C. and presenting this to them, and they were just blown away. And we're going to start sharing some of that, some of those communications back and forth. We went out there several times, had conferences in rooms, and we also had conferences in bathrooms with the water running. Evidently, they're a little paranoid, too. And these are guys you see in the news on a regular basis. They've been very prominent. And I won't mention their names. You have to take the course to find out who's who. But anyway, we're sharing some of that information for those people who are actually coming together. And this is the way Christ did it. He told parables to most people. But he revealed the mysteries of the kingdom of God to those who were actually walking the walk and doing the work. And that's the precedent. So that's what we're going to be doing too. But it, like I said, if you read in Colossians 2:20, he's talking about those who are dead to Christ from the rudiments of the world. In other words, they are the ones who could say there is another king. And they could do contrary to the decrees of Caesar legally because they Caesar's, most of his power came from the fact that he offered you these benefits and you signed up for them. He had the power if you commit a crime, but he didn't have any power over you otherwise. And this is what Christ was showing people and setting up and doing. But I know it's completely foreign from what you've heard in your churches, but what you've heard in your churches have brought you up to the brink of an absolute disastrous precipice. And you need to repent of that and step back a little bit and take a look at some of the other things that we have. And we verify all this. We're not going to do it all on the radio show because it's hard to put a footnote in the radio show where you can look it up and check it out yourself. But in Hebrews 5:12, we see the same word that is translated rudiment and element also. And it says, For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles, that's those elements, of the oracle of God. So there's elements of the world, and there's elements of the oracles of God, the preachers of God. In other words, there's the system of the world and how it works and how it binds you together. And there's the elements of God that bind you together. One is contractual, that binds you in a legal system, and the other one is based on love. Now, if you were facing almost certain death, what would give you the courage to face that death in order to save somebody else? The fact that you had a contract with them or the fact that you loved them? You tell me which one is more powerful. And you see what's happened today in society. You don't have to love one another. You just have to be a part of the elements of the world. And they say they'll take care of you. But I'm telling you that their system is going to fail. That it's going to absolutely fail. And you need to know the elements of God's kingdom, the righteous elements of righteousness. You know, in Galatians 5:1 it says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage," those elements of the world, those elements that bind you in the system. Well, how can you do that in this day and age? I mean, it's really difficult. Things are hard to survive outside that. You don't have to leave the system. You have to start building up. And this is why Christ says, be friends with the unrighteous mammon. You have to start building up the righteous elements in your life. And the way to do that is with other people. You have to gather together, two or more people gathering together, to build up those elements of the kingdom, those first principles of the oracles of God, those virtues that are necessary in order to make a life a success, even during the decline and fall of world systems and the Roman Empire and the Holy Roman Empire. You know, in Peter, 2 Peter also 2:20, he says, "For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world," those elements of the world, "through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, and the latter end is worse with them than the beginning." And, of course, that's exactly what's happened. It's going to be worse for us than it was in the days of the fall of Jerusalem, when the blood was everywhere and people are dying left and right. It's going to be worse than that, far worse than that. And the numbers are going to be just staggering. And we're talking billions of people dying, a great disturbance in the force. But be not afraid. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and things will work out for you, and work out much better for you. But you know what? We missed our break. We need to take a break here. So I'll be right back after these words.
Okay, thank you so much for tuning in to Freedomizer Radio. Freedomizer Radio is under .com, is under reconstruction, so please be patient with our new website. and join us there in the chat room, and we'll be back after this short commercial message.
Vaccines are required for students, employees, immigrants, military members, and international travel. Do you know how to legally avoid them? This is vaccine rights attorney and Freedomizer radio host Alan Phillips. My vaccine exemption ebook can help you avoid the mistakes that have cost others their exemption rights. Get the authoritative guide to vaccine legal exemptions, an ebook available at freedomizerradio.com and vaccinerights.com.
Let freedom ring throughout the land.
Join Alan Phillips on Thursdays at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, only on Freedomizer Radio.
Hello everyone, Proof here again. I want to let you know about our brand new sponsor, Silver Leaf Tea. Now as you guys know that have listened to me for years, I am a tea aficionado. I have hundreds of different flavors and styles at my house, and Silver Leaf has exactly the kind of stuff that I look for. I love loose tea, great antioxidants, I just love the taste of it, and this Silver Leaf has black, they have green, they have white, they have organic. Great for hot tea and iced tea. Silver Leaf Tea, it's right on our website, freedomizerradio.com. And check it out and order it. Silver Leaf Tea.
Listen to Ancient of Days and learn about the lies we've been told about our ancient history on Ancient of Days, Mondays at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. I'm Tessa Dick, and you're wonderful. Thank you.
I'm pressing the buttons. I'm patient. Thank you. There we go. Oh.
How do you wake up in the morning? Do you jump out of bed with a smile? Or do you hit the snooze button over and over again? Tune in each Friday at 12 p.m. Pacific Time to Wake Up and Live. I'm your host, Christine Siegel. On my show, you will learn valuable health and wellness tips that will boost your energy levels. Are you eating a sad diet? Learn how to find quality, nutrient-dense foods. Life is what you make of it. Only you can change your life. You are that important. Join me, Christine Siegel, on Wake Up and Live here on Freedomizer Radio.
Blessings. Are the storms of life casting their shadow? Is your heart being overcharged with the deceit and devastation of the coming New World Order? Are all the lies making the truth hard to recognize? Let me invite you to join us where the sun shines on the Sound Doctrine Christian Ministries Sunday Fellowship Program at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 11 a.m. Central Standard Time here on the Freedomizer Radio Network. We'll have occasional guests, our new Christian Common Sense commentaries, and the Christian Update, plus great gospel music. Call in at 347-324-3704 to speak with us or just listen to the show. Or join us in our 24/7 chat room at freedomizerradio.com as we spiritually prepare for the return of our Lord. Blessings and peace to your home. Sound Doctrine of FreedomizerRadio.com.
Welcome, Freedomizers. This is Juan Hicks of Juan's Media Matrix. Be sure to tune into my show every Tuesday from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. From time to time, I'll be featuring special guest interviews along with the latest news headlines from around the world. You're always welcome to call into the show by dialing 347-324-3704 and pressing 1. Otherwise, you can listen to the latest show in progress. Be sure to join us also at www.freedomizerradio.com on your computer or tablet, where you can interact with our listeners in the chat room as well as comment on the show. We also have a large variety of shows throughout the broadcast day at www.freedomizerradio.com, each with its own unique host covering a wide range of topics to keep you informed on issues that the mainstream media refuses to touch. Once again, that's www.freedomizerradio.com, or you can listen by phone by calling 347-324-3704. Be sure to tune in.
Okay, and we're back live with Brother Gregory. So take it away, sir.
Okay, well, welcome back. We're talking about these elements of the world, these elements of bondage, these elements that trap and snare us. And the reality is, if you read the book Thy Kingdom Come, which we have free online, we talk about Abraham, and we show that Abraham, almost every major religion in the world today can trace their origins back to Abraham. Muslims, Jews, Hindus, Buddhists, they all, if you follow their origins back, they seem to go back to Abraham, remarkably so. And there's a lot of information to verify that. And you just have to read the book, because we're not going to go into that now. But yet he's probably one of the least understood characters of the Bible. Maybe Enoch is the least understood, but Abraham is one of the most misunderstood characters of the Bible. And part of that is the translations. Part of that is traditions of what we have been taught to believe that Abraham was doing. But Abraham, Moses, and Samuel, and John the Baptist, the prophets, Christ, and the early church were actually in agreement, and they were all talking about taking care of one another, not using force, but using free will offerings. And they were showing people how to do it. The altars that Abraham built were actually living altars, the same with Moses. And it's the interpretation that somehow or other a stone is a stone always. And that's not the case in the Hebrew language, that a gathering of stone is the same word for a gathering of friends. And once you understand that, all kinds of things start opening up, and there's a lot of other words besides that which will show you this other way. And we talk about it in the book Thy Kingdom Comes, and we're going to address it even more deeply in the book Altars of Blood. But for the sake of this conversation today, we just understand that how you take care of the needy of your society, either you do it by the perfect law of liberty, faith, hope, and charity, which is pure religion, or it's impure religion, where you call upon the fathers of the earth to exercise authority one over the other to provide you with those benefits. And, of course, the second is a snare and a trap, and that's what brings you into the elements of bondage. So that's why you seem to be losing rights right there. That's it, because you don't know what religion is. And you're not practicing pure religion. You're depending upon a system of impure religion. And so they just assume that they have power over you, and rightly so, because you've been slothful in the practice of pure religion, which has nothing to do with all the philosophies and eschatologies you want to memorize. It has to do with how you take care of your neighbor and how you come to his aid when he needs real help and how you tell him to buck up when he's being a lazy bum. That's religion. You rebuke those who aren't doing the job that they should be doing, and you help those that need help when they really need help. And you do it in an organized fashion, but you organize yourselves. And this is critical. Now, see, there's an element that is too impatient to organize themselves. They want to force you into doing what they think is right now. And these are the progressive socialists. And they're the ones who show up to a debate about abortion with bags of feces and jars of urine and red paint, because that's what they bring to the debate. Because they're the militant progressive socialists, but they're small in numbers, but they're very effective. And they you know, there's laws being passed now in Texas where if you ever supported traditional right to marriage only, you actually can't get hired by any government agency in Texas. At least that's what they're trying to implement. Just staggering to my imagination to even believe that they've come that far. But they're going to go a lot worse than that. But the real culprits are the passive socialists who would never do anything so bold and arrogant and obviously hateful. It's very interesting. All these people do these hateful things. They're the ones the first to cry, oh, hate speech, arrest them for hate speech. But they're the ones who really hate. They're the ones who are aggressive, and they're accusing everybody else of doing what they're doing. But the real culprits are the passive socialists, and that's most of the people. That's most of the people, and that's what's scary in America today, because we have become this apathetic race. And it's already existing in England and in Australia and in Canada and a lot of other places and you know, parts of South America, Argentina. I've seen it since not too distant past. These people, they all have their religions. They have their form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. From such turn away, it says in 2 Timothy 3:5. In Revelations it says, so then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. And this, of course, is those passive socialists who just go along, well, it's our government. It's the way we do things in our government that, you know, we should send our kids to public school and we should, you know, these are benefits that they make available. And we don't have to worry about that stuff because we're saved because we thought a thought once. You know, see, these are the lukewarm. They have their form of godliness, but they deny the power and the responsibility thereof. And the world is divided into those two and one more element. And the other element are those people who are waking up and starting to do things to help others. And starting to think about others almost as much as they think about themselves. And hopefully someday we'll think about others and act and love and do things for others as much as they do for themselves. And they care about the rights of their neighbor as much as themselves. This is the other element. And it's a very small minority. Hopefully it will grow as hard times come, and hard times are coming. But those people need to start coming together. Not for their own help and sake, but so that they can help others. Because when they lay down their time and their life and their energy to help others and do it in an organized fashion, they organize themselves, they begin to awaken something in themselves. They begin to connect to realms unseen, and they begin to tap into power sources, spiritual power, elements of that godly realm, you know, those first principles of the oracles of God, because you begin to take steps like the prodigal son back home. And you don't have to start at the top. You don't have to start with big things. You start with little things. Just gather together with the intention of helping one another learn, helping one another rethink the truth and the elements of society and the elements of godliness. You know, Gandhi said, and I evidently quoted him in CCC, one of our ministers sent a little article on to a couple of groups, I think the Indiana group, and it'll show up in our newsletter, but it'll be up to them, because we're the government of the people, for the people, by the people, and that means that all the people that come together are responsible to make all these things happen. I'm not running things. You're running things, and you better get used to that, because that's the way the kingdom works. But anyway, he quotes Gandhi, who says, good government is no substitute for self-government. And that's really, in the state of nature, it's self-government. Every man does what is right in his own eyes, and the virtuous will end up ruling, because the unvirtuous can't get their act together. But right now, the unvirtuous have got their act together, and the virtuous are wandering around like lost sheep. They need a shepherd to rally around, but they need to choose to do it, because the good shepherd does not tie his sheep together. I saw somebody once herding goats. and they had to herd down the road. So they just tied all the goats together. They tied a rope around every one of their necks, and then they tied all these ropes together. And so all the goats were tied together, and they were just, you know, they were pulling this way and pulling that way, and, you know, as long as he could keep a couple of them going in the right direction, they all had to go in the right direction. And they would jerk on each other's head, and you'd hear, ah, rah, rah. They'd be making all this racket. And it was quite a turmoil, but they got them down the road. But that's what you have to do sometimes with goats. They don't herd like good range sheep. Good range sheep, you know, you just call them, you tell them, you say, we're going this way, and a lot of times they go. And occasionally we get some that are a little bit obstinate, but most of the time I don't even take a dog with me when I herd the sheep. I just go out on foot, out on the desert, no fences, and they stay together. And the ones that didn't got eaten up. And that's what's happening today in this zombie world, is all those who won't come together are getting eaten up one by one. But there were several other quotes that he brought up. It all came out of the Contracts, Covenants, and Constitutions. He said, some take the belief too far that the state is a social institution forced by a victorious group of men on a defeated group, for no other purpose than the economic exploitation of the vanquished by the victors. No primitive state known to history originated in any other manner. At least one individual thought that, and I was quoting that, and it's Franz Oppenheimer who wrote that. But that's not really true. And we show in several of our books that there have been voluntary societies that were very successful, very successful. But when they become so successful and so apathetic because of the fact that they begin to rest upon their laurels, which is what happened in America, then they begin this process of decay. And it can be restored, but you have to get busy, as if hard times were upon us already. And unfortunately, most people are not going to get ready. They're going to stay apathetic. They're going to stay slothful. But those of you who are waking up need to act upon what you're beginning to see. Now, another quote I had is, those captured by pirates and robbers remain free, but yet they're captured, so they're in prison. But if they have a right to escape, they can escape. But the fact is, most of you were not captured by pirates. You were brought into bondage because you prayed for benefits. Now, some of you were turned over to the elements of the world by your parents. And sometimes this is parents in ignorance. But the fact is to tap into this inexhaustible source of energy that you will need, this miraculous power of the universe that is available to those who will, which we see at Pentecost with the apostles, you need to start acting and following in the ways of Christ. Governments obtain power from men because they bind one another out of greed and avarice. We have to be the opposite. We have to do the antithesis of greed. We have to be giving and charitable. You don't have to give to me. I'm not out here soliciting funds for me. That's completely up to you. I'm out here that you have to start giving to one another. And start just by giving your time, taking the time to join the Living Network, to gather with other people, even if it's just online, with other people and say, you know, I want to get to know some of these other people who may be looking for righteousness. I'm not going to guarantee everybody on the network is. But when you start reaching out, it will, that the trials and tribulations of that will start purifying your own intent. And we're actually going through kind of a purge right now, as those people who became what we call contact ministers, you know, contact points in the network, who aren't really doing the job. They just kind of got, you know, all excited, or they had some other alternative. They're just not doing the job. We're letting them go. We're dropping them off. But those who are actually working, I mean, we're starting to get real things done. And if you want to be one of those people who get real things done, it's all voluntary. So you're going to have to decide that yourself as to what and how you're going to participate. But you need to participate with other people with the intention of helping them, not just being helped by yourself. Because that's going to make the difference. That's the connector that evil doesn't want us to make. And when we make that, we will be drawn near that source. You know, and another quote is, he who receives the benefits that should also bear the disadvantage. So you can't hardly survive in this world without some of those benefits. You can, but as things get worse, it's going to be even harder and harder and harder. Yeah, but there are resources out there that are where people are willing to lay down and work and be industrious for the welfare of others as much as for themselves. And when you get those people together, you have a force that is to be reckoned with, a power that where miracles happen every day. And this is what I've seen, that when we laid down and took these steps to go in a particular way, we began to see these miracles taking place because of the fact that we were not working for ourselves, but we were working for others. Now, we don't know who they are or who we're going to actually help, but we began to, you know, people have been telling me for years, you should sell your books. You shouldn't put them online for free. Well, we do sell them, but we put them online for free. There's nothing that we sell that we don't offer for free first in one form or another. I mean, we just don't have the resources to put, you know, start throwing the books out car windows. But it's the way it has to be. You cannot begin a free society charging an entrance fee. But there is an entrance fee. For one thing, you have to check your delusions at the door. You have to participate. You have to forgive one another. You have to try to get along. And when you do that, it begins to make you a part of a bigger whole than most people can imagine. And that's really what we're out to accomplish, is that. And so, anyway, we've kind of come to a conclusion here with this first two chapters of this thing that word you use, religion. But we're going to get more into depth into exactly what that first century church was doing and how that would translate out in today. And we'll do that in chapter 3 and chapter 4. Hopefully I will get written in the next whatever time. I'm not going to even limit my time because I'm dragged in so many different directions here. But the key thing is you people have to start getting together, and that's why I encourage you to join the Living Network and start filling in. We got 1,000 points of light out there. We have to start connecting those lights, connecting those people so that they can actually start doing real things for each other. And you're going to find some lazy people in there. You're going to find some selfish people, but you're going to find some good people too. And hopefully in that quest, you will become a better person. And a person who is seeking the righteousness of God. So until then, until we meet again, may peace be upon your house, and may God be with you. God bless.
Thank you once again, Gregory.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.
Well, thank you all for joining us here today at Freedomizer Radio. We're going to debut Ron Fuller's new, well, I don't know how new it is. It's new to me. His newest song to me, We Must Stop Monsanto. And you know that we talk a lot about genetically modified foods and what's going on in our food supply here on See the Power in You, because we want you to spend your dollars wisely. And we must stop Monsanto.
We must stop Monsanto. We must stop Monsanto.
We're going to work on getting that fixed. I'm going to have to talk with them at Blog Talk Radio about that. So we're going to take just a short commercial break before we get into our program today. And so stay tuned.
Hello, everyone. Proof here again. I want to let you know about our brand new sponsor, Silver Leaf Tea. Now, as you guys know that have listened to me for years, I am a tea aficionado. I have hundreds of different flavors and styles at my house, and Silver Leaf has exactly the kind of stuff that I look for. I love loose tea, great antioxidants. I just love the taste of it, and this Silver Leaf has black, they have green, they have white, they have organic, great for hot tea and iced tea. Silver Leaf Tea, it's right on our website, freedomizerradio.com, and check it out and order it, Silver Leaf Tea.
Oh, you want to heal the world? Oh, you can't do that, you know, you got to elect the right people. No, change your thinking. Change the way you feel. Change the way you do things. Do everything for peace. Like John Lennon said, walk for peace. You take a shower for peace. Do whatever you do for peace.
Every time you do that, you set a ripple effect out.
Because we live in a vibrational world, and your brain is the instrument. To learn how to direct and control your mind, you guys are superheroes. You know, they don't want you to know that, but you are. You guys are the most powerful people in the world.
We see the power in you to change your thinking.
Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday, only on Freedomizer Radio.
I'm not a lab rat.
I'm not a lab rat.
My family is not a bunch of lab rats.
I am not a lab rat.
Thanks, but no thanks. 80% of the processed food in America has been genetically modified.
That's GMOs. That's GMOs.
You can't even tell what foods contain GMOs at the grocery store.
Because no GMO food labels are required. That makes us the guinea pigs.
Sounds like an experiment to me.
GMOs are scary.
It's up to you.
You're an adult. You can vote.
I can't vote because I'm a kid.
Vote yes.
Vote yes. Please vote yes. Panda cookie.
Freedomizer, you have a voice.
How will you vote when initiatives are added to the ballot in your state?
Hi, my name is Rachel Parent. I'm 14 years old, and I'm the founder of Kids Right to Know. I'm concerned about the environmental and health risks of genetically modified organisms, GMOs. I believe everyone has the right to know what they're eating. 70% of the food consumed is genetically modified. And the biotech and junk food companies don't want us to know about it. They continuously put out millions of dollars to avoid GMO labeling. What do they have to hide? Be sure to watch my special debate with Kevin O'Leary on July 31st on the Lang and O'Leary Exchange Show. It'll be on CBC television. I hope everyone can watch. And I'll be pointing out to Kevin that he's living in the past and I'm fighting for our future.
Yes, and I will be providing a link for that interview on my Facebook page. See the power in you. Just see the power. You can do a search on Facebook and find it. Soon, we will have new portal pages here at Freedomizer Radio where we'll be able to put that information directly on our website here at Freedomizer Radio. So check out that interview. It'll be among the comments on the latest photo there in on my page, and it's the one that we have seen a lot of those rats with lots of tumors and various issues and problems. So anyway, that's where we're going to start today, and I'm kind of just hanging out here waiting for my lovely co-host. I'm sure she will be here momentarily. And in the meantime, I have a couple callers, so I'm going to take those callers before we get into our discussion today. I have 2 646 numbers.
Hi.
629. Your mic is live.
Hi. Hi, Cheryl. I would rather not give my name tonight. Okay. Even though I know
okay.
you and I know each other, but I wanted to call because I loved the recording, the song, and I didn't get clearly whose recording it was and whose song it was, that GMO. But I've been thinking about how important information about GMO is all day long and trying to come up with something creative. And I just wanted to say out loud and on the air that I loved that somebody put time and energy, you know, as I have heard lots of times on Freedomizer Radio, that people are taking time and energy to put their creativity into letting people understand that this is serious stuff. Food is really important, and GMO is killing us in that a lot of the stuff that looks like vegetables and fruits are not. They're making us sick. So that's why I wanted to call, and thanks, Cheryl. That's all I wanted to say, okay?
You're so welcome. The name of that song is We Must Stop Monsanto, and you can find more information on that Ron Fuller is the artist, and you can find him on Facebook. And I will post more information on my page as I get a little bit more organized during the show today. I've been putting all of the show links on my Facebook page in the comment of a particular photograph that relates to that particular show, today's particular show, so that people can go there and share the information that we have been talking about on the radio show. And we're kind of working towards doing something a little bit different. Well, it's not totally different, but a little different here on my show. I really want to focus enough on each one of these subjects so that anyone calling in can actually get a good grip on what it's all about. So what I'm shooting for here today and in future shows is being able to produce a show that anyone can give our guest call-in number out to their friends who don't have computers, and those people can get a good grasp on what's going on. Those people don't necessarily get a chance to know what's going on the Internet and are pretty much trapped in the mass media, and we want to break that bond. So, our other caller from area code 646, you're on the air. Okay, I'm wondering if maybe that was the same caller.
Couldn't have been.
I'm sorry. Oh, hi, Miss Cookie, how are you?
Very good. I hit my number one, but it should have come up 715, not 641 or whatever it was.
Very odd, very odd. Well, we've been having some technical difficulties, and I don't pretend to know what the problems all are, but we just push right on past them.
Well, anyways, I'm glad to be here this evening. I'm very excited to hear about the show. And it was wonderful to have a guest speaker. I just love her. And it was wonderful she brought up about that new song. And I couldn't really hear the words, but, you know, I could tell that we got to stop Monsanto.
Exactly. That first part comes across really loud and clear. Now, Ron has promised me that he's going to do a little tweaking in his own personal studio to make this more compatible with radio. So we're looking forward to that.
Because the background music was loud, you couldn't hear what they were saying.
I know. It was a little difficult. But we got the gist of it. We're going to press on and get that information or get that that music up and running for you pretty soon. So stay tuned because we'll be playing it a lot. Great music. Okay, so how things got started today, I mean, I kind of took a little bit of, as I always do, I'm scouting articles to share with those who either call in or listen to us via the Internet. And the article that I started with this morning, it is one that is Sarah Leaney, and I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that exactly correct, but if you've been on the Internet, you've probably seen these photographs of rats with these huge tumors underneath their skin, and the scientists holding up these rats with these great big huge tumors. I mean, the photographs are all over the Internet. And I had not actually read the study itself. The main person who I guess organized this study and went through the process, Sarah Leaney, S E R A L I-N-I. Apparently he was quite beat up over his procedures, and I think a lot of that beating up was misinformation from some of the companies that this really touches, like Monsanto. So the article that I picked up this morning and sent me on this search was, it says, Seralini validated by the new EFSA guidelines on long-term GMO experiments. Now, the EFSA is the European Food Safety Authority. So that would be kind of like our FDA here, only I think they're doing a much better job over there. So anyway, this is the new deal. Now, he did this study. He did a two-year study on these rats, and it was a specific kind of rat, and it was a specific kind of rat that Monsanto used in their studies, which were only 90-day studies, to get approval through the FDA and these other organizations to put their GM corn on the market. So the European Food Safety Authority has now issued guidelines for two-year whole food feeding studies to assess the risk of long-term toxicity. This is a fascinating document which largely validates the methodology and the choices of Professor Seralini in his 2012 study on GM maize. The methodology and choices that the EFSA and countless other critics previously attacked him for. Now, the points to note are, and I've got to shorten this up because it's twisting my tongue all to pieces, the European Food Safety Authority. European Food Safety Authority. Let me see if I can get that in my brain. They admit that no standardized protocol or guidelines exist for this type of study, that applicants have to adapt to. They say the same strain of rat that was used in the 90-day study on GMO food should be used in the longer study, thus vindicating Seralini's use of that same kind of rat, which Monsanto used in its 90-day study. The EFSA says that animals should be fed ad litem, which is exactly what Seralini did. But the critics actually initially, complained about that and they didn't want the food to be measured and the water consumption to be measured, whatever that means or why that is so. They admit that you do not necessarily need a narrow and focused hypothesis and that such a study can be exploratory in spite of its previous claim that Seralini's experiment was flawed because it didn't have a clear hypothesis or objective. So there are 9 talking points that the EFSA has outlined, saying that this is what they are going to approve of for future two-year studies. And they're saying that two-year studies are necessary, which I like. I like that. That's good, because 90 days is obviously not enough. Rats have a much longer lifespan than 90 days. One of the interesting things about Seralini choosing that particular rat, and rats in particular, is that they have a similar propensity for development of tumors based on what is given to them, either, you know, for whatever studies that they're using. They're recommending against using extra control or reference diet groups, commonly included by Monsanto in its 90-day studies, and fed a variety of supposedly non-GMO diets on the grounds that the concurrent controls are the valid controls, and that what was being tested is the difference between a GMO variety and a non-GMO comparator. Now, Feralini was criticized by many for not including these extra control groups and was accused of not having adequate control. So they're basically, you know, through this entire process and all 9 points, are basically vindicating everything that Feralini did. Now, what was very interesting as I started reading this was not necessarily the fact that the EFSA was, you know, coming behind him after all this time, because it's been over a year since he released his results, is that as I was reading it, I took and started looking at, I went for the first time and looked at the actual document that Feralini had produced. And one of the things that struck me, I'll read a little bit of it for you, not too much of it because some of it is just technical and boring, but it gets kind of crazy. So anyway, the abstract is the health effects of a Roundup-tolerant genetically modified maize from 11% in the diet, cultivated with or without Roundup and Roundup alone, were studied 2 years in rats. In females, all the treated groups died 2 to 3 times more than the controls and more rapidly. This difference was visible in 3 male groups fed GMOs. All results were hormone and sex dependent, and the pathological profiles were comparable. Females developed large mammary tumors almost always, more often, and before the controls. The pituitary was the second most disabled organ, and the sex hormonal balance was modified by the GMO and Roundup treatment. In treated males, liver congestion and necrosis, which is death, were 2.5 to 5 times higher. This pathology was confirmed by optic and electron microscopes. Marked and severe kidney nephropathies, God, I hate these words, are also generally 1 to 3.5, almost 3.5 times greater. Males presented 4 times more large palpable tumors than the control, and it occurred up to 600 days earlier. So the test was for 3 years, which is close to 1,000 days. So 2/3 of the way through these studies, the males had large palpable tumors. Now, as I was reading through this, so here's my progression. I got that email today about the European food safety and what they're going to do and the guidelines that they're setting up for future studies. Then I went and I read the abstract for Dr. Feralini's study. And the thing that kind of piqued my interest, you know, I'm reading, okay, mammary glands and blah, 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 blah. The thing was is that it said significant kidney chronic deficiencies for all treatments and both sexes. 76% of the altered parameters were kidney related. Okay, so I grabbed that And I started doing a little research on kidney disease and the increase of kidney disease in the United States. Now, we know that GMOs, and it's mostly GMO thing, has been since the late 1990s. So that's when I started doing doing the research. I started looking for data that was available back as far as the late 1990s to the present. And this is what I found. Chronic kidney disease increases the risk of heart disease as well as kidney failure and other complications, okay? There's a lot of things that are included here, high blood pressure and obesity, et cetera. There are currently, this is the part that just blew my mind, there are currently 500,000 people with kidney failure who are being treated right now with dialysis or transplantation in the United States. The expected increase by 2015, they expect 750,000 people to be treated by dialysis or transplantation. That is over 40% increase. We are, I mean, and these are, this isn't a study where they took and they grabbed 2,000 people and said, okay, let's do this to you and let's see in 10 years or 15 years what the difference is going to be. They've already been doing it. They put it out into our food supply, and there's been no controls whatsoever. But when you look at the statistics, the health statistics, overall, across the United States, we have a 40% increase in kidney dysfunction, which is one of the main problems that Dr. Seralini found with GMO diet in those rats over 2 years. This is not, and it wasn't a coincidence that when I went to go and try and find out how to calculate a percentage, because math is, it is not my gig. I don't like math. It's not fun for me at all. I don't want to know how to do it because it just aggravates me. But when I went to go and look at how to check percentages, the numbers in there actually matched what I was looking for. So talk about your coincidences and the universe stepping up to meet me. Because the examples that they used the numbers 5 and 7 in exactly the same proportions and in exactly the same place that I was what I was reading about. So, you know, this is where we are. This is where we stand. This is what we're looking at. We're looking at a 40% increase across the United States of kidney, not dysfunction, failure. Half a million people. That is a lot of people. And dialysis, this isn't just a quick fix. This isn't just a medication that they can give you. The procedures for dialysis are serious. I haven't studied it, but I will, because I'm going to put together a much better presentation of this material for the future, and a future show where I can pull this all together. I was a little bit restricted today because I just got this information, and I couldn't wait to share it with our audience. So it's so important that we support what's going on in this March Against Monsanto, Moms Across America, the organic movement, so that we can protect the people who don't know about praying over their food and changing the molecular structure of their food through our Creator, as Cookie tells us about all the time. Okay, so we should think, Cookie. Isn't that startling?
Yes, it is. And the whole while you're talking, I'm envisioning all these things and putting out how it happens and putting it more in a simplified manner to what we've actually been talking about for the last 2 years of how these things all work. And, for example, you're talking about this test for 2 months. Well, 2 months is not going to tell you anything. And we've talked many, many, many times before, if you're going to take a lab rat and you want that lab rat to get cancer, the only way you can do it is to destroy its thyroid. Now, the main meridian that comes up our body, and it's an invisible meridian, but it's a powerful one, that comes up is the central meridian, and it comes up from our male-female organ to the bottom of our lip. And then the governing one goes over our lip, over our head, and down to our tailbone. So let's just take the first one. That meridian, like drawing a line, goes from our esophagus, past our thyroid, down to our digestive system, or actually past our thyroid, then the esophagus, and down to our digestive system, and out to our elimination system. So if a person is having a problem with stomach and digestion, or a person has having a problem with elimination, that person already is on the course of a disease. Then what happens, the thyroid becomes weak. Now, when the thyroid comes weak, then we have all kinds of things going because it affects the endocrine system, which is the pineal, the pituitary, the parathyroid, the thyroid, the hypothalamus, and by the way, the reflex for, or the pressure point for the hypothalamus and the thymus gland is just above your breast, in between your breast, right on the same meridian going down where you have esophagus going to your valve where there's like a hiatal hernia if you start developing stomach problems. So now we have a situation that if your thyroid goes down, you're opening yourself up to cancers. You're opening yourself up to kidney diseases. Now, let's say you have stomach problems, you don't feel good, your elimination system isn't working, you aren't sleeping well, you're under stress, you don't feel good. When you eat your meal, afterwards you get repercussions, whether you feel it's indigestion because you've got too much acid or not enough acid, whether it because you don't have enough enzymes or whether it be because you don't have enough good bacteria because now you've gone to the doctor and he's given you antibiotics, which has dissolved everything. What is ending up happening is you're getting sicker and sicker, not feeling good, yet you're gaining weight and you are not getting your nutrition. So you're starting to get pain in the body and your joints start to hurt and everything starts to act up. So you start taking ibuprofen or aspirin or maybe a Tylenol, which all of those, when you do take them, because they are synthetic, and by the way, aspirin, I don't care if it's a baby aspirin or not, all aspirin since 1995 is synthetic. It's no longer made out of white willow. and it has chemicals in it. So now those affect the kidneys. And if it affects the kidneys, that means it's also going to affect our bladders. And if it's going to affect our bladders and kidneys, that meridian, which looks like suspenders going over our shoulders, actually is a meridian that goes down our body through our adrenal glands. So now, if we don't have any adrenaline to help fight stress, and we have too much cortisol because the thing is it's burning out the adrenal glands, in other words, worry and fear, and our nervous system isn't working, and our thyroid's not working, and our hormonal system's not working, and now we can't get it up, we don't enjoy sex, and we have no desire for it, we have no motivation, we have no stimulation, our temperature gauge goes down, we get cold hands, cold feet, we just don't seem to get the circulation we need, our heart becomes heavy, we become worried, we go into fear, and now we don't know what to do because it just seems like nothing's working properly. Guess what? We're in big trouble. And how long does this all take? Well, you know, to create disease such as cancer, scientists have even said it sometimes takes anywhere from 5 to 10 to 15 years. Well, if you're doing a study only for 2 months, you aren't getting the accurate diagnosis. But obviously, the ones that were doing it for 2-3 years was showing tumors. Tumors are a form of cancer that has engulfed itself, and the body is trying to keep it in one spot, and it's actually trying to protect you so it doesn't spread throughout the body and kill you. So actually, your body is doing its thing by creating these tumors. But now remember, if we go with the kidneys have a major effect on our whole being and our body. It has to do with our water system and our sugars by getting the energy we need to be able to get up and process it. It has to do with a lot of things. And then you're talking about blood transfusions, taking in other people's blood in your body, mingling it with your blood, which is a foreign matter, which is going to cause you to go down and your immune system is going to go down. And actually destroying the thyroid is the purpose of autoimmune diseases. And autoimmune diseases is chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, picking up like Lyme's disease, MS, all kinds of different things. So a lot of people are realizing, hey, something's wrong here. It's not working for me. So I'm going to go on a gluten-free diet and stay away from grains and stay away from anything with gluten in, and maybe I'll start feeling better. And a lot of them do. But we got to remember, GMOs is in corn and corn syrup, but it's also in all kinds of foods. And I saw just recently the FDA did pass a law saying that labeling has to be put on products that is gluten-free, and it has to be only so many parts per thousand in order to have the label of being gluten-free on it in order to sell it, because there's a lot of people out there with celiac disease that find that if they eat a gluten-free diet, they feel much better. Now, the situation is a lot of these people might not have celiac, but they find that by staying on a gluten-free diet, they feel better besides that also. Now, right. Should we be not having such wonderful foods and grains that were made by the Creator for the purpose of helping our elimination system and giving us bulk and giving us fiber? No. But the thing is, if you're going to destroy wheat and you're going to destroy corn and you're going to destroy soy and you're going to destroy cotton and you're going to destroy all these things, you're eliminating all the things that we as human beings should be eating to help us to stay healthy. And by eliminating all these things, we're sacrificing our digestive systems because now we're not getting the nutrients we need and we might be lacking in amino acids or vitamins or minerals or protein. And so the thing is, by watching our diet and watching what we purchase and what we buy and making it a matter of prayer, we can balance it off. But, of course, it comes back down to how many hours of the day. I only have 24 hours in a day, and I like to be educated, but how much time do you want to put into, do we have to put 24 hours a day into our diet and food and reading labels and doing all these things when it should not be necessary, whereas in the past, let's say going back to the 40s and 50s, we could eat all these fresh fruits and vegetables and foods without ever thinking about how we were being poisoned, manipulated, used as guinea pigs, and trying to destroy our physical bodies so that the pharmaceutical companies, the hospitals, the pharmaceutical companies, and everybody can be making money off us as human beings, and yet the agenda is to get rid of half of the earth, and they're doing a great job of it because, like you just said, this is increasing. Kidney problems are increasing. I remember back in the 80s, they said one out of five people might have cancer. Then in the 90s, it was one out of four. And then in now 2000, it's one out of three. And then now I think it's getting to be one out of two.
Yeah,
what is going on? Yeah, pay attention and see, this is what's happening.
Okay, so I want to reread this part to you and then add some more. Biochemistry data confirmed very significant kidney chronic deficiencies for all treatments and both sexes. 76% of the altered parameters were kidney-related. These results can be explained by the nonlinear endocrine disrupting effect of Roundup / my addition, glyphosate, but also by the overexpression of the transgene in GMO and its metabolic consequences. So I'm going to highlight a little bit here, and then we're going to move on. A Roundup tolerant maize and Roundup provoked chronic hormone and sex dependent pathologies. Female mortality was 2 to 3 times increased, mostly due to large mammary tumors and disabled pituitary. Males had liver congestion, necrosis, severe kidney nephropathies, and large palatable tumors. This may be due to an endocrine disruption linked to Roundup and a new metabolism due to the transgene. GMOs and formulated pesticides must be evaluated by long-term studies to measure toxic effects. Basically, this man went out, he said 90 days is not enough, we need to do 2 years. 2 years is the full length and beyond, full length of these rats' lives, I believe. I have to check on that, don't quote me on that part. But what he's doing is he's taking it beyond the 90 days. This is like the whole thing that we all can relate to, because we've been around long enough to know that in the movies, smoking was glorified and glamorized. Companies, including physicians, were doing commercials for cigarettes. And then they started doing, and then there were long-term studies done. And then there were more long-term studies done. And we now know the truth about tobacco and how it, and not just tobacco, but all of the nasty things that are in tobacco cause all kinds of problems in the human body. We don't want to be guinea pigs anymore. We're done with that. We want a natural food supply. I was really impressed when I went to Vaughn's today. And I had been to Vaughn's probably maybe 6 weeks ago. And so it hasn't been that long since I was there the last time. And I noticed a significant difference in the way that they are promoting their produce department. And the number of organic products that are there and available for people to purchase. I talked today with the produce manager. I spent time with her. And she said, we can't get it in here fast enough. So it's not just people shopping at Trader Joe's and Whole Foods. These are the two names that I know of companies that are, you know, have been promoting the natural kind of food, environment, organic, et cetera, for some time. And they're not able to get away with these quote-unquote natural labels on their products anymore because people are becoming more educated, and they're becoming more educated quickly. There was a huge change in that department over 6 weeks at the same store, the exact same location. And I'm so happy to see that. I can't say how happy I am. I can't say it because I'm too happy. I really wanted to say, I'm sorry I missed that call earlier. Someone had their hand up, and I just saw it briefly as I was switching over to the studio. So if you'd like to call back in, if you have comments or questions for Cookie, please feel free to call in. And our number to do that with is 347-324-3704. Our goal is to be able to provide enough information on this program so that you, the internet user, can share our call-in number with those who do not have computers. And you can also, you know, put it in your telephone and listen to Freedomizer Radio. That same phone number is good for all of our programs here at Freedomizer Radio, starting at 9 o'clock in the morning and going till 9 or midnight every day of the week. See the Power is Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 10 in the morning and on Saturdays 4 to 6. So we're here to help bridge that gap between people who don't have computers and that mass media. People who don't have internet are starting to get the information from talking with their neighbors who do. So the information is spreading, and it's like a happy virus. Oh. And I feel so grateful to have you here because I'm able to bring some of these, the articles and things that other people can go and read, but you bring that practical part, you know, taking it to a deeper level and making it understandable when it comes to how it relates to our bodies and our energy fields. I really appreciate that.
Thank you. And, you know, it isn't a matter of us knowing the anatomy of the body or the physiology, but just how we've all been feeling for the last 15, 20 years. And when they do these tests, I think about these mice. You say they use a certain particular mouse. Well, let's look uh-huh. at human beings, different races, different blood types, A, B, B, and O. Then there's minus and positive and negative. Yet each person with different types of blood has different attributes and different characteristics. We also have inherited different abilities, whether we are from Europe or whether we're Indian or whether we're black or whether we're white or whether we're from Sweden or Australia. Each one of us have inherited different things. So nobody is going to have the same exact results. But when you see people getting hormonal problems and thyroid problems and stomach problems and digestive problems, and way back 50 years ago, Bernard Jensen says death starts in the colon, which in actuality has been changed to death starts in our whole digestive system, like you used to have the talk on the river that runs through from the throat all the way down to the rear end. If that system is not working perfectly, our body does not get revitalized. It does not get the nutrition it needs. It does not get to reactivate by getting rid of dead cells and creating new cells. We start to age. We start to gain weight. We start to feel tired. We feel like we're getting old. We start to hurt. And so the thing is, when changes start to occur, and then when you go to your physician, he goes, well, you're just getting older. No, 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 no. I've seen people in their 60s to 100 that have major flexibility, that are moving around, that have had no problems for years and years and years. Why is the majority of mankind dying off at earlier ages? People don't have cancers in their 20s, 30s, and teens, and now they're talking about babies? What is going on here? Something has changed in our physical diets, because our diet is what keeps us alive. Our diet is what feeds us. Our diet is what keeps us healthy. So now, what is going on? What are we eating? And you're talking about Roundup. That's poison. And we know what it did to the people in Vietnam and also our men that were in Vietnam, and how it affects them and how it affects their nervous system and yes, how it affects their hormonal system. And yet Agent Orange is Roundup, and yet it's a poison, a toxin, and yet if it gets into our food, even if we do what you are saying by putting it in the sink and putting in 3% hydrogen peroxide or putting vinegar in or cleansing our stuff, it still gets absorbed into the food. That's why I say praying over your food is the most important, because the only one that can change that molecular structure, take out that poison, and make that changes is the best chemist in the world, the best doctor in the world, the best physician in the world, the best healer in the world, the best scientist in the world. And so by petitioning the Creator to come in to change that molecular structure as you eat that food, and by having thanks and praise for the results, and gratitude, then we do have a chance to survive.
We do. Just to recap, I mean, or just to give you an idea of the cost. End stage renal disease costs in billions of dollars. In 1998, we were spending almost $17 billion a year on end-stage renal disease. By 2009...
And that's coming from our government tax dollars. It's coming from your pocket, from what you worked for all your life, from your health plans and Social Security going right into the system of medical, pharmaceutical, and also Monsanto's pockets.
Exactly, exactly. So in 1998, we were spending almost $17 billion a year in treating end-stage renal disease patients. By 2009,
$42.5 billion, and this is only Medicare.
Job security, job security for those on the red team. Whoa.
This is only statistics for Medicare. This does not include private pay insurance. This only includes Medicare. So that is a small percentage, smaller percentage than the actual total, than the actual total. So we are, so I'm just going to let all that sink in because I'm still trying to let it all sink into my brain. I found out about this morning. I did as much research as I could, and I became chauffeur this afternoon for my lovely neighbors who've been taking such good care of me and giving me rides to the grocery store for the past 2 years, and so I had to run for 4 hours today and go do errands and stuff with them. So this is my promise that there will be more information coming up in the near future, and hopefully I'll be able to not get all upset because we must stop Monsanto music wouldn't play. I'm sorry, that was just so disrupting to my whole energy field because I was so looking forward to having that for you. If you can go, if you are on the internet and you can go to YouTube, just look up Ron Fuller and you can find, it's his only YouTube out there right now. I'm sure he will have more in the future, and he has asked us to please, please, please spread the word. So we must stop Monsanto, and we're going to share that music again with you when we get a better version for our radio show. So we are 2 minutes to the top of the hour. We have a caller, and we're going to take a caller and then go to our commercial break. So caller from area code 289, you're on the air.
Well, hello. How is everybody doing there?
We're
hello.
Good.
How is everybody? My name is Ron Fuller. How you doing?
Ron Fuller! Awesome!
Wonderful show. You got me and my wife all revved up here.
Oh, thank you so much for calling in. Thank you.
Well,
I'm such
a Luddite, I finally figured out where to find your phone number. Only took me an hour and 40 minutes or something, but hey.
Well, we're working on having that number up at the top of the page on our website. We're going through some reconstruction. Had some ugly snafus, and so the old website is gone forever, flushed, and we're starting brand new. So, and we're only up about a week, so we're still struggling with that.
That's great. We get to watch it grow and thrive.
I know. It's exciting. We're in an exciting time. Ron, we do have to take just a short commercial break. Will you stay with us after the break?
Love to. Absolutely love to.
Great. Okay, so thank you all for tuning in to Freedomizer Radio today. This is Cheryl, your host, and my lovely co-host is Cookie, and we'll be right back.
How to spread awareness to your neighbors, family, and friends about what is going on in our country today? It may be things you already know, like the large number of FEMA camps spread around this country to lock up citizens like you and me. What legislators are doing to strip states and people of their sovereign rights. Or legislation giving states the power to force vaccinate under a declared state of emergency. Do your neighbors understand what is going on? William Lewis Films offers the perfect tools to inform our population about this government's tyrannical shift from a constitutional republic to a despotic democracy. Films like 911 Ripple Effect, Beyond Treason, One Nation Under Siege, Washington You're Fired, Camp FEMA, Enemy of the State, Don't Tread on Me, Blood of Patriots, The Ron Paul Uprising, even 911 in Plain Sight, Williams First Production are all available at williamlewisfilms.com. Get your DVDs today at williamlewisfilms.com. Educate against the police state.
Hey there, Freedomizers. This is JC from the Sports Lounge. Join us for 3 hours on Saturdays as we take a break from politics to discuss sports at freedomizerradio.com. Come and join us each Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Pacific, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern.
Hey there, everyone. This is Chrissy Featherstone, the host of the new show, Real Talk USA, on freedomizerradio.com. Join me every Sunday from 1 to 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. This is a seriously but yet funny show. Topics will range from current events to psychological factors in America from the scientific approach, and this will be happening every Sunday. We have musical artists that will also come on, and I love banter from the listeners. The show will also offer and feature listener choice topics every third Sunday. So call in to 347-324-3704 or join us in the chat room at freedomizerradio.com.
Hello, everyone. Proof here again. I want to let you know about our brand new sponsor, Silver Leaf Tea. Now, as you guys know that have listened to me for years, I am a tea aficionado. I have hundreds of different flavors and styles at my house, and Silver Leaf has exactly the kind of stuff that I look for. I love loose tea, great antioxidants. I just love the taste of it, and this Silver Leaf has black, they have green, they have white, they have organic, great for hot tea and iced tea. Silver Leaf Tea, it's right on our website, freedomizerradio.com, and check it out and order it. Silver Leaf Tea.
We will again soon have all of our affiliate banners back up on Freedomizer Radio. In the meantime, please go and support those that support Freedomizer Radio. Silver Leaf Tea, Soda Stream, and Liberty Stickers.
Hi, my name is Rachel Parent. I'm 14 years old, and I'm the founder of Kids Right to Know. I'm concerned about the environmental and health risks of genetically modified organisms, GMOs. I believe everyone has the right to know what they're eating. 70% of the food consumed is genetically modified, and the biotech and junk food companies don't want us to know about it. They continuously put out millions of dollars to avoid GMO labeling. What do they have to hide? Be sure to watch my special debate with Kevin O'Leary on July 31st on the Lang and O'Leary Exchange Show. It'll be on CBC television. I hope everyone can watch, and I'll be pointing out to Kevin that he is living in the past, and I'm fighting for our future.
Okay, well, now that little commercial needs to be edited, and we will in the near future. Rachel Parent, I felt so proud to watch that young lady tackle, to be on television, number one, and to be so calm, cool, and collected in front of however many people and be hammered over, you know, by Kevin O'Leary. Because he kept hammering her. And I felt like, you know how they say it takes a community to raise a child? I felt so proud of that young lady. She is our youth coming up and becoming an activist for something that's so, so very important. I'm going to check and make sure. Is that you, Miss Cookie?
Yes, your machine cut me off and said I had 1 minute, and after 1 minute it hung me up.
Okay, well, there's all kinds of weird stuff going on because your phone number is still not showing up correctly. We are very, very, very pleased to have Ron Fuller with us today. Thank you so much for joining us.
My goodness, did I hear Ron Paul and all kinds of treacherous stuff there? I think I found my home.
Yes. Freedomizers are definitely Ron Paul supporters. And you know, this is the place where we talk about everything that's going on in the world that the mass media don't. Now, you can go find articles everywhere on the internet, and you can find lots and lots of new radio programs, et cetera, but Freedomizer Radio is focused on...
People are becoming more and more awake. It's just a wonderful thing to see that maybe it will be the people, the power of the people, for the people. We just got to keep fighting until we're there again.
Ron, please tell us a little bit about your journey and, you know, what got you into, you know, how did you end up writing this song and producing this song, We Must Stop Monsanto? I mean, what's your story?
Well, like a lot of people, they grew up and at some point they picked up a guitar and thought they'd make it big, and then at the next point they knew they were too old, and babies come along, and before you know it, gosh, there's grandbabies too. And I dabbled and pretty much given up on music for quite a while, and I was getting more and more concerned about things such as our food and diet, and not been a big fan of Monsanto since the 70s. And one day I just heard more and more from people like Alex Jones and Abby Martin, and one day I just got... I won't say the word, but I'll say a different word. I got mad, really mad. And another friend of mine had shown me a band, kind of a new band that had this different kind of sound from Germany, and I kind of thought, well, gee, I could make a song like that. So this kind of music was in the back of my mind, and one more time, I think it was Abby Martin, did a show on the GMOs, and I just lost it and turned the stereo on, and it sort of flowed out of me, and... I just decided, you know, I better get this thing done for the March on the 25th, and I just barely got it out from then, and then it just went kind of mental.
Okay, so it is brand new. I mean, really, I mean, the March Against Monsanto happened just in May.
That's right.
Well, this is exciting.
Makes me feel empowered, and I really urge people. I used to teach a little guitar years ago, and I'm seeing some of my students coming ahead and doing stuff like this, creating stuff. It just makes me so proud. And everybody out there, you know, if you acoustic guitar or a drum or something, if you got a poem or something to say or rap or spoken poetry to music or something, do it. Put it on YouTube and do it.
It's not, because it's not about becoming rich and famous, although, you know, I think there are a lot of musicians that kind of have that in the back of their mind at some point, but it's about that thing that you said. It's empowering to the individual.
Well, it's not only
that. It certainly is. For me, I guess it's just turning somebody on. Somebody going, well, what the heck's that? I like the music. Well, what? And then they start to dig deeper, and, you know, you got one more person telling somebody else.
What were you going to say, Cookie? I'm sorry. It's not only that.
It's about the message going out and the vibration. We talk on this program about frequencies and vibration and how music can change and help us all open our eyes and become awake and motivated, and how it helps us go back to harmony. And his song there is bringing something to our attention. And I actually liked the music. It reminded me when I was listening to it. I love the movie Shrek, and I like the way he's a big monster and he kind of walks, and he's got this wonderful attitude, and he wants to do what's good, and he's got a big heart. But when he walks, he shakes the ground. Well, when I heard that song about we need to stop Monsanto, it just reminded me of him walking through the forest, shaking the ground and shaking everything up and saying, you know, we need change. What you're doing is wrong, and it's not going to continue. We're going to straighten this out, and we're going to take care of it.
Wow, that's really neat. I guess I was just trying to maybe educate people a little bit. You know, I tried to synopsize the story in a song, and I guess some people say that I kind of managed to do that.
You did, and I'm really excited to get a version up here on the radio that our system can handle.
My apologies to everybody. I think I played a major role in that.
Oh, no. I mean, Ron has, he sent me all of these different things, and I've been trying to get, you know, get them downloaded to my computer and then get them re-uploaded to the studio, and we've been struggling with this back and forth for a couple days here, and I finally got the version up there on the network audio clip.
Most people say that the YouTube version sounds okay. So you can almost use that as a measure to set your levels, and then you'll be set. Use that as a measure, perhaps.
Yeah, we don't get to set our levels. If we would just get to set volume, overall volume is all we get. So it's kind of a raw deal, unfortunately, for our new musicians.
I'll send you a calmed down version. Back to genetics. Back to the us playing with these gene guns and creating a product. You go, well, we've got a product here. We've got to get that product out there. And, under testing it and bullying farmers. I don't begrudge anybody making money, and I don't begrudge them trying to perfect the science. But under testing, under reporting, outright lying doesn't cut it for me. What do you guys think?
Go for it, Cookie.
Well, what we think is what we've been talking about for the last 2-3 months and trying to educate everybody on GMOs. And if they want to know why they're getting fat, why they're getting sick, why they don't feel good, what is happening in the world and how we're being attacked and manipulated by being used as guinea pigs, without our consent, without us being able to have rights by saying yes or no, or I choose to have this product or not product, is taking away our First Amendment in this country anyway. And I think that we all need to be empowered to stand up and fight against anything like that, because anytime something is done to you without your permission and your consent, whether you knowingly or unknowingly knew about it, the point is we do have rights. And people get mad when they get caught. Monsanto's angry now that they've got caught. And yet at the same time, Monsanto spends millions and millions of dollars for us not to know the truth. And like the young lady that's 14 years old, what are they trying to hide? Why are they trying to prevent us from knowing the truth and being able to make a good choice? And then when we hear music like, we must stop Monsanto, I agree. Because what they're doing is wrong.
Yes. And there's a place for everybody. I know that a lot of people don't like a heavier music, and a country song may suit them better. And I urge country artists, let's make a country song that country people are going to like. If you like 50s music, make a 50s version. If you like hip-hop, and there is lots of hip-hop stuff, which is good. But, whatever genre gets you going, put it out there so you can inspire people with it.
Exactly. We need all of those various genres, because we're not all the same. And we're not all motivated by the same kind of music or same kind of frequencies, same kind of tunes. We all have a common goal, but a different way to get there.
I think
your music, the way it goes, is I might not care for it, but I like your song, because what it does is it's saying, be alert, pay attention. Something's happening here, and we don't like it. This is serious. And so when I feel this boom, 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 it's like, yeah, pay attention. This is not something light to discuss. This is heavy stuff.
Well, that puts a big smile on my face, because that's the intention for everybody, whether you like the music or not. I want it, you cannot ignore it, and hopefully you'll listen to it or at least watch the bouncing ball on the video so you can actually totally understand the lyrics, and if it's too fast for you, play it again, get the idea, and if that's enough for you, don't ever hear it again. Dig in, get into your community, and help make change. Give us a choice. We live in a world of so many choices and so many things. How many flavors of Coca-Cola would you like? How many flavors or types of peas? Well, not peas, that's a bad choice. Of cars would you like? But do we have a choice between labeling and not labeling? No. in North America. I mean, we look so silly, so overpowered, so governed, so not even governed, but governed by people who should not have any place in the issue. You know, when they make a corporation have the same rights as a human, as a person, there's something really wrong with that.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know,
now we've had talk, Cheryl, on drumming and how powerful drumming is for the chakra system, and it actually works on the bottom three chakras, which is to do with being human. And that's why with his music, the drumming that was in there actually has to do with us being humans here on Earth and how it's affecting us human-wise. And so I thought that was interesting because it has to do with survival, it has to do with reproduction, it has to do with digestion, it has to do with the physical body, and it has to do with self.
Well, I'm all for making more babies. if they could say, you know the song, that first song, oh, that would just make my day.
Well, let's bring those new babies into a non-GMO world.
That's why
there are no GMOs, not in our grocery stores, not in our fields, not in our environment at all, because we know how the more we study it, the more we find out about it, the more we know how detrimental it is, even to the microorganisms in the soil that we can't see.
Well, we can always feed the world. Always, always we've been able to feed the world. It's been a political problem, not a problem of production.
Yes.
With old-fashioned, tried and true farming. In fact, we can still take our technology and what we learn and our satellites and everything else we've got to make it better and more cost-effective and all those good things that we want it to be, and especially better on the environment. So we can do all those things without having to go to GMOs.
Exactly. 90% of all of the potatoes in Russia are not created on commercial farms, but on small family farms. 90%. Without big commercial machines and without GMOs. We don't need GMOs. No.
The original strains are being from Peru, I believe, are being harder and harder to find. So we're breeding them out of existence, creating monocultures, you know, one variety of banana, one variety of what have you, and that's what we eat. So we don't get the different enzymes, the different life energies and forces from the food. We just get this factory-created spinach, factory-created whatever you want. And we can do it much closer to the old-fashioned way using modern technology. We can feed the world and have a surplus.
Well, and they're proving in the field that conventional, standard, old, traditional farming is more productive than these agro-businesses that are using chemicals, not only chemicals on the plant, but chemicals in the plant. It's proven. So we need to support those local farmers. I'm so excited to have found your music.
Glad you found me. It was fun, wasn't it? Our adventures on the internet.
It was. Now you're up in Canada, is that right?
Right. Yep. I am in on Lake Ontario, just near Toronto.
Ontario. Okay, so I'm geographically in Canadian terms completely.
Buffalo is just across the lake from me, you might say.
Oh, okay. So you're in that eastern segment of Canada.
That's right. I'm still 1,000 or 1,200 miles from the ocean, but yeah, I'm along the Great Lakes.
Okay. Okay. I grew up for a short period of time in Sandusky, which is just below Lake, on Lake Erie. So.
Okay.
So
you had only been 300 miles away then.
Oh, just across the lake.
Across the lake.
Well, the world
things are a little different up here in Canada, but not a lot. Again, it's I don't want to be too opinionated and say too much, but, you know, when they say everything, they say North America, North America. So you can pretty much lump Canada in with pretty much everything that's happening on this issue.
As far as labeling, well.
No labeling.
Well, you know what? It's going to spread because there are so many.
You know, Cheryl, there's another aspect of this thing with GMOs, which we have talked about, but really wasn't brought up tonight. When he talked about he loves babies, and all of us love babies, but the thing is, if somebody ever tried to hurt my baby, if I had one, I'm 62 years old, but when I had my babies, if anybody tried to hurt my babies in any way or form, I would have been like a mother bear or a bull in a china shop because I would have had to give my life for them because the innocence and the purity of babies is important. Well, two, our Creator looks at the earth and what Monsanto is doing to the ground, to the earth, to the insects, to the soil, to the minerals, the vitamins, and the nutrients in the soil, what they're doing to the plants, what they're doing to the trees, what they're doing to the bees, what they're doing to the deer and the wildlife out there and the salmon and the fish and different things like this. These are all innocent bystanders that are like babies that really have no choice what humans do, and they're in subjection to humans. So if humans are not good tenants and they're poisoning the world, they're also poisoning all the innocence and the purities and the creation of the Creator out there that he has created for our benefit, for helping us. And yet at the same time as human beings, if we don't take a stand and get angry about this and do something about it, speak about it, put it out there, make it a matter of prayer and show action, like you said, by not spending our dollars on certain things and speaking up and getting a voice and standing in our power, then by having blinders on, you know, you're not doing anything for anyone. And, you know, as a baby, we can understand they can't do much, but you and I, if somebody was kicking a dog, I'll tell you right now, I'd be there in 2 minutes to kick that person's rear end. And I'm not a fighter, but I'd fight for something like that.
Yeah, it's interesting when you find out exactly what gets you going. What will you get up off the couch for? What will you do it for? And it's not hard to look when you look at your kid and your kid's got some kids, you kind of go, okay, I know what I'm doing it for. In fact, I could die a year or two from now, but if I know I fought my buttocks off over the past 2 years while I still had life, it'd be to try and at least get them aware of the kind of changes that we need to make, then I can die happy. Sure.
Well, and
we want our grandchildren to have a good life. That's what we work for. That's what why we reproduce, why we want to have them to have a better life than we had.
That's why I don't understand why absolutely everybody on the planet isn't standing at the gates and going, hi, gentlemen, just stand over here. We're just going to lightly take apart your building here. We'll get some engineers in here. We'll take it apart correctly. But this building doesn't need to be here anymore. We've got people all over the world doing the exact same thing right now. Thank you for helping out. Now, if you wish to get into the seed industry the old-fashioned way, by all means, fill out this card and here's some bricks, build a new building, and you leave those GMO gene guns alone, okay?
Well, Well, it's happening. It's happening slowly but surely. And it was for the love of her children that a woman named Tammy moved 2 million people in over 400 cities across 60 countries or 52 countries, whatever the numbers are. That's huge. But it was for the love of her children that all of those people got motivated to get off the couch, as you said. So, you know, we're on a roll. Prop 37 being defeated in California, that was nothing compared to what's coming. I'm really excited.
You can feel it. You can really feel it. I think I made a little. If you look on my Facebook page, which again I've only been doing that for a couple of months, so forgive me for the mess I've made. But if you look on, I just made a little statement on before my video plays, and I'm just saying, can you feel it? Can you feel this rumble, this awareness of humanity starting here? I mean, I sit quietly and I just sit and I have this sense. All the time in the background, especially with this, you know, the internet having, you know, the world's information at all of our fingertips, plus the communication of it. I can feel it rumbling and building, and you're so right. You can feel it.
And that's why I brought up today about the labeling for people with gluten-free stuff, because that is the first. That is a first. So if they can put labeling on there for gluten-free products and then come up with a regulation or a standard, the FDA, they can then come up with a regulation or a standard for GMO foods and label it too for us.
That's what I meant by joke, exactly. Come on, if you could do that. They're not telling us something, and we're not taking it anymore. I don't know if you noticed lately in the NSA hearings, but the Pentagon people, the propagandists or the public people were talking about how, you know, we're just not, the public isn't believing them anymore. They're getting their news from Drudge. They're getting their news from Alex Jones. We've got to start telling them the truth. They don't believe us anymore. And then their underlings, the kids come out that are new in the Air Force. It was the Air Force that was having a briefing. And they're saying, almost in tears, going, well, this is the point. The people don't believe us. We're their age and everything. We know everything's done with their tongue in their cheek. We have to start coming forward. And, of course, that's just the best lie you could make, right? I promise that we will not lie anymore. So I feel this is all coming together, because once you go, okay, they're lying about this, what else aren't they lying about? And then, you know, you just look up for a second, and even CNN's going, my goodness, he looks like the NSA is, I guess we're watching everybody. Watch out what you're doing. And it just all ties in.
And, you know, it's amazing when you talk about that. It reminds me of a soap opera. You know, when people speak truth and they put it out there, in 5 minutes it's over. And the thing is, when a person speaks truth, you know it, you feel it. But a person that says to you, I'm not going to tell you anything, because the reason for me not telling you is to protect you. And we need to keep these secrets so that we can have government control, so that we can control the masses and other people so that they don't invade this country. But we're going to keep all these secrets to ourselves, and anybody that exposes any of these secrets is a bad guy. So now here's the deal. Let's make this soap opera go on and on and on, because if nobody ever knows anything, nobody's ever educated, no truth is ever spoken, and everything that comes out is a lie and a facade and manipulated and walked around and never hitting the mark, so to speak, it goes on and on and on and on.
We've been degunned in Canada, basically. You cannot have a handgun. It's very expensive, very difficult. You can only take it from your house to your gun club and back. You can't, you know, stop for a coffee and then go to the gun club. You actually have to go right to the gun club and home with it. You have to have a whole bunch of safes and gun trigger locks and all kinds of stuff. So hardly anybody has it here. And concealed carry, forget it. It just, you don't have that in Canada. You guys still have the Second Amendment, and although in a way we do quite well here in Canada without everybody carrying. In the States, if I lived there, I would carry, and I would be totally for the Second Amendment. And I sure do like the part about the Second Amendment that people don't really hear, and that is it's to keep the politicians' feet to the fire, as it were. And we don't really have that in Canada, except I guess we get to vote every 5 years. So, yeah, things are, again, people are starting to learn, starting to turn on.
You know, and Ron, I did not realize, and, you know, just having you on here and talking, I didn't realize that the United States and Canada always got lumped together as North America. It didn't ever occur to me until I was, until you said something about it, and then a couple of other. Yeah, in Mexico. And I read something. It says, are you aware of the GMO labeling laws? While the United States and Canada have virtually no labeling laws, and I have seen that several times, but it didn't really connect that, you know, we're on this continent together. We're all connected.
I mean, if I get in a lake and if I can swim 30 miles, I could visit my friend that lives in Buffalo.
Or you could come and visit me. I'm in Wisconsin in the upper UP.
Well, 30 miles I can swim, but yeah, that might be a little far. Yeah, right, I could swim 30 miles.
Well, I'm by Lake Michigan, and I'm only maybe about an hour and a half from Canada.
Well, that's just three Great Lakes. I should have no trouble.
Put on that wetsuit, Ron.
Oh, yeah. Well, another thing that might interest you is that Ms. Parent lives just down the road from here, so that may be another reason to put a pin in the map of Toronto there. And, it's funny, I went to my first march, and I'm walking away, and I stuck to the back just to get a view of everybody, and there's this sweet little girl walking behind me, and she's playing with a little kid, and I'm kind of just watching the joy of them playing and stuff, right? And I'm hearing this, you know, this girl, Rachel Parent's going to come on. And I think I'd even glanced at one of her videos, but hadn't paid too much attention. But I'm walking around taking it all in, and, well, Rachel comes on and starts speaking, and it's that little girl I had been admiring. So she goes on, starts, and I grab the camera, and I just went right up on stage there. I got right in there, and I got a fair bit of it, and I keep threatening to post it. So once Luddite in me figures out how to do that, I will post it. So, yeah, I'm in the same area as she is, and, man, is she something else.
She is something else. I wish that I had that kind of presence and that kind of self-confidence when I was her age, and the fact that we do have people like her, and also I think her name is the token libertarian, or something like that. I'm going to have to look that one up. And also another young lady who has developed over the past year just a great presence. And her passion just grabs you.
There's a couple other young, I think there's a young gentleman and another young lady on YouTube I caught that were equally eloquent. I get names.
Well, it's a trend, and I'm very glad to be able to share with our listeners just the fact that this young lady is out there. I've seen the 11-year-old who gives it to Monsanto, the 6-year-old. Our world is changing. And it's very exciting to be here. Very exciting to be here. We're at the bottom of the hour, and we need to take a commercial break. Would you like to hang out with us, Ron?
It's like chatting with a couple friends on the phone. I'd love to.
Okay, very good. Very good. Well, thank you all for tuning in to Freedomizer Radio. Our call-in number is 347-324-3704. program that phone number into your cell phone. Give us a call when you're out and about, driving here, driving there, maybe when you're in the grocery store, and share your experience, what's going on. We'd love to hear from you. And it also gives you an opportunity to share Freedomizer Radio with people who are not using a computer. Get that bridge started across from television and mass media and what's going on in the newspaper and magazines and those six companies that control that mass media, and bring them over to fight the New World Order with all of us Freedomizers. So we'll be back. Stay tuned. It's coming. I promise. The button is spinning.
Are you there?
Maybe not.
Pardon me?
I pressed, and it's sitting there spinning. I've got this global thing spinning. So any moment, it's going to break in the conversation here. So I will chat until it decides to take leave. Something's happening with my computer internet connection, it looks like. Another one of those technical difficulties. But we're plugging along, because what's really nice is that this part of what's going on is not affected. We have a phone connection and we have the computer internet connection, and the phone connection is not being it's not being affected the same way that our internet connection is. So let's see, what other announcements do I have to make today? Oh, I wanted to let people know that, one of our Canadian hosts is going to be hosting a show tonight, starting at 7:30 Pacific Standard Time. She's filling in for the Truth Exposition. That particular host is having some... needing to take some time off, and so Sheila and Tim will be handling...
Thank you for tuning in to Freedomizer Radio, where we have a 24/7 chat room where you can come and share what's going on in the world with people of like mind. Anything and everything against the New World Order. Dial 347-324-3... Thank you for tuning in to Freedomizer Radio, where we have a 24/7 chat room where you can come and share what's going on in the world with people of like mind. Anything and everything against the New World Order. Dial 347-324-3704 to catch our live show. Beginning at 9 in the morning, Pacific Standard Time, Monday through Friday till midnight, and 9 to 9 on Saturday and Sunday. Take us to the beach. Take us to the park. Take us on a walk with the dog, only on Freedomizer Radio.
I'm almost afraid to press another button. Okay, so let's see. If you would like to know what's going on at Freedomizer Radio, you can go to Facebook and join our group there called Backstage, Backstage at Freedomizer Radio. Our host post upcoming topics and guest appearances in that group, so to keep you guys informed, and especially as our website is under redevelopment. So we do have a 24/7 chat room that you can come and participate. Oh, my computer is completely uncooperative. So I'm really glad that we have your mics live and we can just continue on. Sheila is not the first Canadian to be a part of the host here at Freedomizer Radio, and I'm sure that she won't be the last. So that's part of what we're doing here at Freedomizer Radio, is tying people from other countries into this network. We have had hosts from down in South America and in France. The lady that was in France has moved to Spain, so we hope to maybe get her back one of these days and just spread the word far and wide. So there we go. Cookie, would you do a proclamation for us today? Oh, gosh. Did we lose Cookie? Woohoo! Are you there, my dear?
Oh, I am. I was muted. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's
Can you
okay.
hear me?
Did we wake you?
Can you give me about 3 minutes?
Oh, you bet. You bet. One of the things that we do here on See the Power in You is at the end of every show, and sometimes on Saturdays twice, so like the end of every hour, we do a proclamation. A proclamation is a message to the universe. And whether you take that as a prayer or as a way of working with universal energy, either way, it is as you believe. And Cookie, she does a great job of taking the information that we've been talking about during our show and finding a proclamation that just reveals that information, pulls it all together, and talks to the Creator in the universe in a very special and unique way. And I kind of surprised her by doing it a little bit early, but I have a couple of other subjects here that I can talk about. But you know, with Ron here, I just feel like GMOs, and we got to talk more about that.
It'd be nice to know what kind of questions people have. Like, why isn't everybody, like we said, everybody that has a child, thinking about a child, or they have a nephew, or even if they don't have a child, if they like humanity to go on, why aren't you concerned? I understand one thing is, what can you do about it? Oh, there's nothing we can do about it. Oh, government's too big. Company's too big. There's really nothing you can do about it. Oh, we're all eating it all the time. Oh, nothing you can do about it. But you know what? We're proving that there's something we can do about it. You know, change has been affected over the years by one person saying no, one person saying, I will not go to the back of the bus. Somebody that says, I will not stand all this mercury in my harbor. Somebody who's said, I will not take this apartheid. Whatever. Somebody has gotten up and said it, brought it to world attention. The world attention has grown and grown until it's been pushed out. And this is what we're trying to do, I think.
Well, I don't think it's that people are not doing anything because they feel powerless. I think it's because they don't know. One thing that I found to be very, very surprising, one of the guests that we had here on the radio, I think it was just maybe 2 or 3 Mondays ago, Ken Roseborough. He is the editor of the non-GMOproject.com, non-GMOreport.com. He's been doing this since 1991. I didn't even hear about genetically modified foods until 2010.
I was dating a girl, oh boy, a long time ago, but I first became aware of it in like 78, because she had been just going into biology and was talking about recombinant DNA, which was just hitting the news and everything back then. So I knew that it was possible back from then and then kept an eye on it, but I never really noticed when they first started coming up with the products until it sort of became a little more evident in the media.
You all have to remember, too, when everything's going well in the world, people do not make change. And as things started to speed up and life sped up and the technology sped up, and what ended up happening is then things start coming to light and more people are more connected and people are talking more, and they're standing in their power and their self-esteem, and they're acknowledging things that are happening. And a lot of times when we're younger, we're so busy raising children, making a living, trying to do certain things, that we don't really focus on what's going out of our own households or our community when we've got so much to already on our plate. But as the baby boomers started to grow and notice change and notice things were not as good as they used to be and things that were turning, even though a lot of them are good, because we always see good with bad, but some of the good things that were from the past are being dissolved and some of the bad things from the past are magnifying, and then we're adding new stuff. People are turning around and saying, hey, wait a second, this is not right. We need to make a change. So tonight's proclamation is on the Declaration for Humanity. And as our guest speaker said, people are waking up, they're noticing things, standing in their power, being aware, and confronting things and actually doing something about it. Because when we have love for self, we work with ourselves, but then we also have to have love for our neighbor. And it's important for us to be able to put ourselves out and help our neighbors. And by helping our neighbors, we're also making our neighbors become aware of what's going on. So as a spokesperson for humanity, I choose to walk through the veils of illusion to be well, whole, perfect in mind, body, and soul, and experience my divine perfection. I will no longer live in a world which distorts truth. I will no longer allow another life form to manipulate, violate, or coerce my efforts to exercise my free will or experience my divine expression. I claim my free will and my sovereignty. I call forth all energies blocking, that are distorting, that are manipulating or controlling my life, my world, and my creations in any form on all levels of consciousness, and transmute them into the divine expression of creative love. I stand empowered. I claim responsibility for my world, my creations, and my choices. I call forth all individuals within humanity who hold this vision to stand as one in voice, one in mind, one in intent, as one in consciousness. I dissolve the veils of illusion and transmute them into the divine expression of creative love and return them to the Creator Source to be used only in the divine expression of creative love in a harmonious sequence for all life forms co-creating with humanity. I claim my spiritual truth as I honor all others, as I honor myself in my words, in my deeds, and my actions. I am the divine expression of creative love. I am whole, and so be it. Take a deep breath, exhale, and clap your hands.
Yes. I always feel empowered after you do a proclamation, Cookie.
Well, it comes directly from the Creator with love, and all of us are connected to that Creator, and all of us are connected to each other. So when we stand as a spokesman for humanity, we are standing in truth, and we're doing our thing.
Well, I know we are absolutely blessed to have found the truth and feel like we have a voice and have a place to express those thoughts. And sometimes I stumble over my words. I'm still working on that. I'm not a great speaker, but I have a lot of passion. And it's like, what's going to get you off the couch? What's going to make you stand up and say something? And you said something earlier, Cookie, that grabbed me.
I watched the movie The Day the Earth Stood Still. Keanu Reeves played in that. And part of the end was human beings, they almost need a crisis to step up to the plate. And I think that's where we are with genetically modified foods. I mean, among other things, GMOs are not our only problem, but we have to focus our attention. You know, we talk about GMOs and we talk about vaccines, and there are a couple of other topics that we hit on this show, but mostly we're talking about food and what's going on with our food. And
look, I've got songs about Bilderberg and about water and about pollution, about bullying. You know, there are lots of other issues out there. But, you know, you don't get much more basic than food, air, water.
And, you know, coming back to you with your song, when we talk in the 50s and 60s, our belief system was in this country. And people would be willing to die for this country and do whatever they had to for this country because they wanted to have love and happiness and be productive and families and be the number one country setting an example around the world. But now our belief system has changed. Our belief system is exactly what you said it is. People don't believe anymore. They think they're being lied to. We know we're being lied to. We're being conceived. We're being manipulated. We're being schemed. We're not getting whole truths. We're only getting partial things. We're getting spin theories. You know, we're getting all these things, and that's where it came back to the soap opera. You can watch a soap opera 6 months later, watch it, and you really won't miss out on anything. You got the whole gist of it. And a year later, you could pick it up again, and they're still working on the same spin theory that they were working on a long time ago because there's no end to it. If there's truth in something, people know the truth, and people are tired of a Wall Street, they're tired of government, they're tired of religion, they're tired of pharmaceuticals, they're tired of chemical companies, they're tired of manipulation. They want to get back down to basics where it was in the 50s and 60s, and they want their belief systems to be strong. And back then there was a belief in a creator and prayer. There was also showing kindness to your neighbor. Setting a certain amount of standards.
Right, well, that's the heck of a constitution down there, too.
Yep.
That was excellently said.
Thank you. But what change is good. We're changing our belief systems because we want our belief systems back where we felt comfortable with them.
Yeah, and that was starting with believing in America and God, right?
Yep. And believing in the country and believing that it was run by the people, not by 356 people that make decisions and spend the people's money on things that we don't want to be spending money on. Doing things, making rules and regulations and laws and judgments that don't benefit the mass, it only benefits a few. And you know, I mean, things like, does Fort Knox really have the gold? You know what I mean? That's that simple. Why can't you tell us? Why can't you show us? It's supposed to be ours. Why? Well, you know, what is this all about, you know? If the Federal Reserve is not owned by the federal government, who's it owned by? And if it's owned by CEOs and mankind, and it's owned by a few rich families that decide what's going on in the world, and they're selling our country to all different other countries, and yet we have no problem with other people coming into this country and being a part of this country, but at the same time, does China own the United States now, or does Russia own it? Who owns the United States? Because we don't own it anymore. You know, there's something going on, and a lot of things are going on that you and I are not aware of, and it's scary.
Seeing Russia and America change poll, you know, this one is now for freedom, one is now for openness, and the other one's got the, you know, the most jails in the world, and the most jailed, well, I'm not talking per capita, I'm talking the most jailed and the most jailed people in the world. It's astounding. The corruption and greed is truly astounding. But when I look to your military, and probably mine, they're saying, you know, as many as half are aware of all this. So if they ever get the order to, you know, do something nasty to the public, so far we might have 50% that will lay down their guns and or take up arms.
And look at the turmoil in all the other countries that are going on nightly on the news. And yet at the same time, when I look at religion, and that's what I'm talking, not spirituality, religion that is conformed, and I look at one religion, and I'm not picking on it, but it's a perfect example of one that says that they care about the afflicted and the poor and those that are in trouble right now financially and don't have food and maybe medical help or whatever the case is. Yet this individual can go to Brazil and cost that country $50 million for a visit when he could have probably stayed home and done more for them by letting the poor have the $50 million and being put into programs where they could get food and assistance and help and all these things. And yet I can't imagine Christ Jesus coming, sitting on the Mount of Olives and saying, now you have to pay $50 million for me to be standing here to encourage you and talk to you and upbuild you when I have back at the Vatican, I own my own bank and I own my own country and we have more money than any of you will ever have. And yet at the same time, I'm going to come and give you hugs and kisses and act like I'm fearless and that I'm coming to upbuild you and encourage you and help you. And then I see all these people just, you know, taking a day off of work and stumbling over this whole thing and doing all this, and I want to cry. It's like, wake up, people. Wake up, you know.
I'm not a fan of communism, but Marx had it right with religion is the opiate of the people. Not spiritualism, not God, but religion. It's just such a wonderful toy for the people to want to control.
Yep. It's another organization, and it's actually Unified Religion is a corporation with CEOs, and they have exemptions. And they are also in bed with Wall Street, the government, and the big bankers and the Federal Reserve.
Yeah, you guys got that. We don't have that up here in Canada that I'm aware of as far as the church is kind of signing on with the government. And that's pretty scary.
Mm-hmm.
It is very scary. Ron, we've got 90 seconds left, and I'd like to give you an opportunity to let people know where to go and listen to your music and how to get in touch with you.
Well, since I'm a giant Luddite and haven't made my web page, etc., the best place to get a hold of me is probably going to be on my Facebook page, or you can email me at fullersongs2@gmail.com. That's fullersongs2@gmail.com. And that's how you can get a hold of me so far. Again, I'm slightly disabled, so I'm a little slow at a few things, but I am planning on getting together a website and everything so I can communicate and maybe sell some music too, which would be lovely.
Excellent. Well, thank you for
joining
us.
And can we go out with our theme song, because he should hear our theme song.
Far out.
Well, we don't have time for all of it, but we will play what we'll play in the last 40 seconds here or so. So goodbye, everyone. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you again on Monday. God bless.
Love you guys, and it's nice meeting you.
It was a lot of fun. Thank you.
I walk up Blog Talk Radio.